Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives! Fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives, our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network, interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now, reporting for duty, your hosts, Tara Crook and Sarah Henderson.
Hello, Army Wives and Army Families. Welcome to this is Army Wife Talk Radio, show number 425, and I'm your host tonight, Star Henderson.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson, in for Tara Crook, and it's Monday, June 24th, 2013, and we are so glad that you've decided to join us tonight.
That's right. If you are joining us live, we want you to know that we, Paula and me, and all of our team members who could make it tonight are live in the chat room. And if you want to go have fun with them, Janet is moderating tonight. She is one of our veteran teammates, used to do chat rooms, so everything should run very smoothly in there. We have our veteran listeners, too, that always join us at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. You just have to click on the link for show 25 at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR, and the show will pop up. The chat is about midway down the page. Now, there are some, I guess, housekeeping things. If you don't have an account there, then you need to either get an account with LinkedIn, MySpace, Facebook, or even Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able to actually chat. If you're not in there or you don't have an account, then you can just watch us chat and get jealous, and then that's not any fun. We just know that you're out there lurking, and we can see that you're identified as guest, but we want you to be on a first-name basis with us. So please do log in and see if you can figure out how to do that. It's super easy, especially if you have a Facebook account. And if you're one of our 50,000 fans, then that would be one of you. Make sure that you follow us along at twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork as well. We use the hashtag ArmyWife as our code word here, and you can go ahead and search that or follow that so that you can ask questions, you can participate as listeners in the, you know, real time, at live real time, or you can also follow along sometime after the show when you've downloaded it and you want to know if there's any information out there, just check out hashtag ArmyWife.
That's right. And we want to give a huge thanks to our platform, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, all of our AWN sponsorship team for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio tonight, because without them, we wouldn't be here.
No, we wouldn't. We always say they help keep the lights on. I think that's a we're not Hotel 6, but our sponsors, our sponsors.
Six, but...
Right, we're Household 6. There you go. We're not Hotel 6 or Household 6, and we do try and leave the lights on for you. The sponsors are who help make that happen. So we're really appreciative to them. And I don't know. We don't have this in the script. I want to let you all know that we do have the script. Let me just follow along with the script that I read and approved prior to tonight. Paula, you know how you get ahead of yourself? And if I get ahead of myself and then forget I talk about something, then later on it'll like pop up in the script and I'll be like, oh, wait, yeah. And I'll repeat it without realizing I'd already talked about it. So let me just back off. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. We are just going to take a few minutes to catch you guys up on our Army Wife life. People tend to like this, and it gives people enough time to get to the show, to figure out how to listen, and it gives you guys a buffer before the main guest. So Paula and I are going to do a little bit of a chit-chat and catch you all up with what's going on in our lives, and then, I don't know, if there's anything you all want to shout out for and you're in the chat room, then you can go ahead and type that into the chat room and we'll do a shout-out.
Be careful there. That might be a little scary.
Right. Well, I won't read anything that's not, you know, very sweet.
No.
So, Paula, you're here again. Tara is still PCSing. Did you sound official? Or I thought you sounded official. Did you feel official? You know how when you're watching the news and they're, you know, your normal anchor isn't there and they're like, I'm in today for Brett Baer or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Brett Humes or Brit Humes. Shep Smith. Now
right.
You know what. Now you know what shows I watch. I'm sorry. Well, maybe you know I don't watch them because I can't get their names right. But I just thought that was funny because you're like, I'm Paula Swanson in for Tara Crooks. So
that's
she's out.
Right.
She has her household goods delivered today. Kristen is getting her household goods picked up today. Kwanda is cleaning house. I'm sorting things, pre-cleaning house. That's four of us. Is anybody else PCSing out of the team this year? Or this month, this summer?
No,
I'm sure
but
I'm forgetting somebody.
I work PCS.
That's right. So tell me about what's going on in your
real
life.
Yeah, this is going to be the real life, Army wife / crazy civilian life, too. Because I had my attitude delivered over the weekend, and so that's what I did this morning was we actually just moved from one floor to another floor. So it's not like we had to move out
right.
of the building or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I hate moving. I don't care if it's the office. I hate doing it. And, of course, went into a space that really is not really as big as I need it to be, but it is what it is, and we just, you know, overcome and get it done. So that's what we've done. And then, so that's, you know, the civilian side of things, but in the Army wife life, holding down the fort while, you know, the husband is away with his annual training that, you know, even though he's a reservist, there is no 2 weeks a year. It is always, always, always more than that. And so that's what we're in the midst of right now. But that's okay. I mean, you know, I stay busy, you know, holding down the fort, keeping everything under control. But the really fun thing about in my Army mom life, I have to really
mm-hmm.
stop and think when I say that. In the Army mom life, because my son, of course, is at basic training at Fort Benning, and he actually got to FaceTime with me last weekend. And this is really new that in basic training they're given, you know, they're earning like 5-hour passes on the weekend, and they get their phones or they get to go to the rec center and log on to the computer, and of course everybody wants to jump on to Facebook and chat and that sort of thing. But it was funny because he actually FaceTimed me. And
very nice.
It was fun, you know, because he says, where are you? I'm like, what? He's like, you're at Old Navy, aren't you? I'm like, busted.
Busted.
I'm like, yeah, I'm out shopping. So we got to do that, which was fun. And then I got a letter from him today. And in the prequal at the range, he actually shot expert. And
wow.
So he was
that expected?
You know, of course, yes, yeah, absolutely. No.
There's a good mom. There's a good mom.
Yeah. No, you know, Connor is a good shot. Connor has shot plenty for years now. So it wasn't unexpected, but you know, when you under pressure and that sort of stuff, you know, the nerves kick in and that sort of thing. So I was really excited for him, and he was very pleased, and so he got that out of the way. So it's nice that he pre-qualified and he, you know, shot expert, but then that left him kind of bored having range
right.
duty and kind of standing around, which he didn't like, but. But other than that, he's doing great, but he is definitely ready to come home. So,
well,
but I just,
he's still got some time, though, huh?
He does. We actually go the middle of July for family weekend, so I'm excited about that for him. So he's just, you know, like all the guys, you know, he's, okay, been there, done that. I'm good. Let's get this going, and I want to go back to my wife kind of thing.
Right.
So,
well,
you know,
I remember being on range duty when I was at Fort Jackson, and we had to pick up pine cones. I have never seen these pine cones were as big as like babies' heads. They were huge.
Oh, wow.
We had these buckets, and we walk around and we picked up pine cones because they would damage the mowers. couldn't go over them. Yeah. They were like sticks and stuff. So that's what we got to do on range duty. I don't know what he's doing on range duty at Fort Benning. Swat and flies, maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
It's pretty hot.
And sweat. But he really is. He's enjoying it. He is extremely excited when he gets mail, you know. And I can't. I mean, I can't stress that enough about how important that is. And sure, I don't, you know, I don't get him something out every single day like I would really like to. But I do get stuff out to him, you know, about every other day and that sort of thing. And even if it's just a card that I just put in there, hey, buddy, I'm just thinking of you and I love you and I miss you. Doesn't have to be a book. You know, it's just that connection. And he thanks me every time. I get a letter that he says, I just enjoy getting correspondence from home. So,
That's big.
So it's fun. So what about you? What's going on with you?
Well, I'm writing letters to my baby at camp too, not basic training, but my daughter is out for a week. We finally shipped her off with, you know, we're done here and that I'm bored. So really she's not been very bored actually. We're cleaning and sorting the house together, but she's at camp, YMCA camp, with a bunch of other kids, and so I'm sure she's enjoying her time off from mom. I sent letters before she left. I got to send another one tomorrow. I sent her an email this morning. You know, with technology, it's just getting so much easier to be able to keep in touch. So you know, they'll send us updates, and I know when I dropped her off, she's like, I can't find my ring. So I get home, and her ring is sitting in the fruit bowl. And I didn't want her to worry about it all week, so I sent her an email first thing this morning that I found her ring in the fruit bowl, of all places. I'm not really sure what that was all about, but at least I found her. She's got this really special ring that she likes, and I have no idea why it's taken off. I'll have to wait until she gets home and ask her if she knows why her ring was taken off and put in the fruit bowl. So she's at camp, and summer school is going on for the eldest, who will be taking his driver's test tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So I will have that to report on next week. He's done the written test. He's done his 40 hours of driver's instruction under a parent. We had to take him out and vouch for him driving in night and day. So I don't know if you remember, but like we took this long trip to Michigan for Memorial Day, and he drove his sister to camp this weekend and back. So he has got his 40 hours in his. He's near 17 coming around the corner here. So we're taking him to go do that tomorrow. Just, you know, send some luck. I hope. I won't be upset if you don't pass the first time, but we're not going to do this 8 times. So I hope he's trained up. And I feel like he's trained up. You know, but the nerves always get the best of you. And then it always depends on who you're. I think it depends on who your tester is as far as, oh, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, and how important and critical that is. So we may have another driver on the helm. And the one thing that I wanted to say that I had started to say earlier is, you know, we're having fun. We're not working as hard as we might normally, being that it's PCS and summertime season. But you know, we're long-term planners as well, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the final dates have been chosen and confirmed times 400 times at Fort Carson, and we will be at Fort Carson, Colorado, September 18th and 19th. If you've been to a field exercise before, you need to note that that is, and we know it is, it's a Wednesday and Thursday, not a Thursday and Friday like we normally do. So you'll be able to have a choice of a Wednesday evening or a Thursday noontime kind of luncheon with Army Wife Network as we present 1001 Things to Love About Military Life. And so everybody's like, can I register? Registration won't open until the end of August. We don't want people to register and then forget to unregister as they get closer to the date. So if they have, you know, have things going on. So we will open that up at the end of August. And if you're a Facebook fan, at facebook.com/Army Wife Network, you will get the note because we will put it out several times. That is for Fort Carson. And then later on, right on the heels of that, we will come home, unpack, clean out, do our inventory, and repack for November 7th and 8th, which will be Fort Knox, Kentucky. And those will be the last two field exercises for 2013. Follow along at facebook.com/armywifenetwork, and you will go ahead and be in the know, right, as they say?
That's right.
All right, so that is it. That's it for at least mine and Paula's Army Wife Life. We're going to go ahead and share with you what's going on at Army Wife Network proper, and you'll follow up with Facebook and all of our social media things. So I want you guys to stay tuned for that. Let's get this show on the road.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, so always, 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 the biggest thing that's going on at Army Wife Network is our contributors columns, from career to parenting to money. We have several columns that go up during the month, and I just want to highlight two for you tonight. One of them from Nikki Fitness, and I had to laugh when she sent this one over. I've been doing exactly this, using yard work as the perfect excuse not to go running. Although I don't work as hard as she does probably in the yard, I have been doing a lot around the yard. One of the first things we do, especially when we're renting a house, is review the lease before we're getting ready to clear. And there was something in there about the lawn being pristine. And I'm pretty sure we don't meet that standard right now. So we've been out weeding and getting leaves out of the, you know, eaves and gosh, you know, my landlord and his wife, I mean, she's an Army wife, and I always wonder, do they listen to the show? Because hopefully I'm not, you know, hey, they're great landlords, and they want the house looking in the best shape that it can be for their next renters, which, lucky for them, are all lined up for September, so that's great for them. I just hope we find a house soon. Anyway, so when Nikki sent out the yard work is a workout, I was like, amen, yes, it is. And she goes from everything from dressing for protection, making sure that you work both sides, because I'm a righty and I'm constantly raking with my right hand, and that's aching with the shoulders and the biceps and everything, so make sure that you're switching it up. And she even has a paragraph on there on rocking your workout wardrobe. So just make sure, and it's not so much a wardrobe for you, but she's talking about dressing up the house. I guess that's not the wardrobe's not the best. Landscape, that's the word I'm looking for. And she puts up in a plug in there for doing things the old-fashioned way. So good on you, Nikki Fitness. We appreciate all of your fitness columns that you send over to us that make us feel super guilty for not doing what we're supposed to. She's always been a great help. It says here, completing your project will make you doubly proud of yourself for not skipping your workout and for having something to show for it. So get on over to the health and fitness columns at armywifenetwork.com. And follow those steps, put the workout into your yard work. And then I did say that we also have the topic of money. And so we've got Gal Cunningham from the National Foundation of Consumer Credit. And this one was from USAA. Oops, I've got a couple different contributors doing money. And this one's from USAA about how does your credit score rate. So when it said credit score, I was thinking automatically the National Federation for Consumer Credit, which actually they have quoted Gail, who also contributes to our site in one of their sidebars. So anyway, shame on me, but then also I was accurate as well. And so it talks about credit scores. And, you know, you hear all these ads about how interest rates are so low and it's a super time to refinance your house or to get a car or, you know, maybe to purchase some land if you'd been wanting to do that. And, yeah, that's great. But mainly the article is, this is all great news for you if you have a good credit score. And about a third of us don't have that. So there are some tips in there on how to improve it so that you can aim for a credit score of 760 or higher. That will go ahead and put you in a good position for shopping for loans. So just because USAA says just because your credit score drops doesn't mean it has to stay low. To keep your score as high as possible, understand how credit works, which means you need to know that you got to pay things on time and that you have to keep your balances low and various things like that. So they are giving you a crash course on how credit scores are calculated and how you can keep yours strong or to get yours stronger. So that was under money at armywifenetwork.com. Those are the biggest things. And reminder, just so that you know, you can always go under events and look at the field exercise link, and that is where you're going to find out those new dates that I was just telling you about if you didn't write them down for September at Fort Carson and November at Fort Knox. And that's all I got for the site. Paula, why don't you tell them about Facebook and our other social media? Thank you.
Okay, want to talk about our AWN Facebook fans are at 51,487. And this week, the hot topics were, are you a book lover? And if so, what are you reading? The DCOE Virtual Mental Health Fair that was online, and I think, Star, you contributed and helped man that. And then the graphic,
yes.
do not read the next sentence. You little rebel, I like you. I thought that was too cute. So do you want to tell us real quick about the mental health fair? How did that go?
Sure. Yeah, there were almost 50 different resources that went and submitted a photo, and DCOE, the Department of Center of Excellence, went and put all of those photos into an album and called it their mental health virtual, their virtual mental health fair. And so there was a backpack journalist, DCOE, us, Not Alone, so many other people there, Military Kids Connect, we've had them on the show before. And there were, like me, I manned our booth, quote-unquote booth, the photo, and I was there to answer questions if anybody stopped by to have questions about what Army Wife Network can do to help improve or even just keep you sane in that term. So that was really interesting. It's the first that we'd ever been to, and I thought it was very well put together. It was all day. That was a little bit, I think, for people that had never heard of one or been to one and didn't really know how to go about interacting with all of the resources. A long full day was good for those people that took advantage of it. And so I hope that that there were a lot of people and our fans. We had announced it to our page. I hope they checked it out.
Good. The other thing that we have over here on the Loving a Soldier blog was Emily's Fat is the New Thin, Mallory's Let's Get This Deployment Show on the Road, and Sarah Jane's Should I Stay or Should I Go? Really great blogs over there. And if you're interested and you want to blog with us, email info@armywifenetwork.com, and we'll get you some information about that. So now it's time for us to fill the love tanks of military supporters out there and do our duty as good citizens to support them. And it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We like to limit them to two per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. If you do have one, please email that to info@armywifenetwork.com. And the first one that we have is Blue Star Families would like to extend an opportunity to members of the Mill Blogging community. Blue Star Families is hosting a blog series on the heels of their recently published free ebook, Everyone Serves, featuring the personal stories of several military family members experiencing different stages of deployment and reintegration. They're looking for bloggers who are about to experience the deployment of a spouse, parent, or child within the next 3 months, are currently experiencing deployment, or are now experiencing reintegration with a family member who has returned from deployment within the last 3 months. If you fit this description, BSF would be honored if you joined the blog team to share your voice and expertise as you navigate this aspect of military life. You will be given general topic guidelines to blog about each week for 5 months, and also invited to participate in 2 to 3 Google Plus Hangouts during that time period. You must link back to the Blue Star Families blog you do from your personal blog. In return, BSF will send you a free e-reader whereby you can access the e-book and its resources, videos, and interactive sheets to use as a springboard for your posts. BSF will host the blog posts and share them with Vulcan, NBC Publishing, Got Your Six, and all of our ebook partners, and will, of course, link back to your personal blog and include your biography and any relevant photos. The marketing and exposure opportunities are great. The blog will launch on June 26th, so they would like to know as soon as possible if this is something you are interested in. And it is a big commitment, so if you definitely think that you could do that, email Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at bluestarfam.org, after which they will send along a contract and then your e-reader if you are selected. Again, you can email Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at bluestarfam.org.
All right, and so just a plug-in for the partnership, one of our bloggers and our new blog assistant from Loving a Soldier, Mallory, whose soldier just deployed, will be participating in that. So we'll be probably highlighting that a lot between the next 5 or 6 months, I guess, the end of the year, before that's all wrapped up. So great job, Mallory. Way to go. And like she said, she is hitting this deployment running, and she certainly is. So welcome to the team, and then also thank you for going ahead and representing Army Wife Network with Blue Star Families on that project. And I have one quick announcement. This is just an invitation for you all. If you know of Krista Wells, she is the military spouse coach, and you can find her online. She's also been a previous AWTR guest. She will be on My Military Life Radio Show's Coaching Corner, and if you guys know Wendy Poling, she is our Army Wife, which is basically a Navy friend of Army Wife Talk Radio. She has that My Military Life Radio Show, and it will be on Tuesday night. So tonight, I know we're talking about career and career issues, and she will be on My Military Life Radio talking about career coaching, and she will take your live call-in questions. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, look for Navy Wife Radio. It will be the show on June 26th. And Krista has a summer promotion going on for limited spots only for 30% off career coaching sessions. So if you check out the Military Spouse Coach website, you can go ahead and contact her. It will be 30% off, basically because she's got regular customers or regular clients who are taking their summer vacation, so now she's got some empty slots that she needs to fill the time with, and she is a go-getter, and I know if you've searched our archives, you'll go ahead and listen to her on the show, then you know that this is true, and you should, if you're interested, maybe even after listening to our show and you know that you need some more help, you can check out our guest, Michelle Letterman, and her book, 11 Laws of Likeability and Heroes Get Hired, and her website, executiveessentials.org, in addition to working with Krista tomorrow night. So our main guest is Michelle Letterman, and then after that, Rebecca will be here to interview a Soldier Child Foundation. Those are our two main guests this evening, and then we have our Health Minute, which we'll be coming to you at the end of our show. If you guys are new and not listened to the show, you should be sitting back. We've got about an hour left. It's an hour and a half show, and we will be here until 8:30 or 9:30 Eastern. But next up is Corey, and she is calling in with the news. She is calling in from Colorado, and we'll be going ahead and catch up with her in just 1 second after we go ahead and bring you these messages.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. Nearly 300 children have strangled to death or were seriously injured by window blind cords since 1996, and at least 10 of those have been in military housing where residents are often prohibited from making changes that might have prevented the deaths, according to a recent study by a safety advocacy group. The deaths have spurred parents into action, but they are tangling with the bureaucratic weight of the Pentagon and the limited resources to sound the alarm. We're getting the process rolling and trying to bring more awareness to the military housing, says Phil Coplidge, a Navy Petty Officer. But there's only so much I can do with them, along with the military work I do. His son Brandon strangled to death on a window blind cord in 2009 while Coplidge was at sea. Linda Kaiser has been tracking the deadly blind since her one-year-old daughter, Cheyenne, was strangled by a blind cord in 2002. Kaiser was ahead of Parents for Window Blind Safety. She counts 10 incidents, 6 deaths and 4 injuries since 1996 in military housing and in property managed by companies hired by the military. 3 occurred at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, in the last 5 years, she says. She's gotten the government's attention. Consumer Product Safety Commission Chairman Inez Tenenbaum and Defense Department Undersecretary John Congerer urging the companies that provide military housing to replace old window blinds with safer models. The officials sent a letter to the companies called Defense Department Housing Partners in April asking for the changes, but have gotten no replies yet. Efforts to improve blinds in military housing coincide with the enactment of a new voluntary standard for all window blinds on June 1st. But safety advocates, the industry, and regulators are at odds over whether it will make enough of a difference. And Goodwill of Orange County, California, has announced that General George W. Casey, Jr., one of America's most iconic military leaders, former head of the Iraq Multinational Force, and former chief of staff of the U.S. Army from 2007 to 2011, will challenge the Orange County business community to pledge jobs to the country's 147,000-plus veterans, reservists, and National Guard members. General Casey's call for action will launch the Mission Enduring Independence National Pilot Program at the Goodwill Invitational Golf Tournament on Friday, June 28th, at the Monarch Beach Golf Links in Dana Point, California. The general will address the Orange County business community about not only pledging funds for the program, but pledging jobs for the county's veterans. Mission Enduring Independence will highlight vet advantages, which are attributes that the Goodwill of Orange County has confirmed employers are looking for in their employees. Military services are releasing thousands of young men and women monthly as their deployments and contracts end, said Casey. These talented young people have acquired the life skills and experiences, such as loyalty, resourcefulness, integrity, the discipline to follow policies, procedures, and processes that are missing from potential employees of the same age. Mission Enduring Independence is a breakthrough program that focuses on more than creating jobs, but on achieving lifelong independence. The 10 core vet advantages are dependability, integrity, teamwork, accountability, initiative, loyalty, unselfishness, courage, effectiveness, and decisiveness. Goodwill has been in the business of helping people keep and get jobs for over 100 years and has now used that experience to create a program tailored to the employment needs of veterans, reservists, and National Guard members, said the president and CEO of Goodwill of Orange County. Through our direct relationships with the 250 Orange County companies, we are asking these companies, via General Casey, to pledge jobs to our nation's returning military heroes. Mission Enduring Independence helps prepare these young women and men so that they're must-hire candidates for the county's most vibrant economy. When a vet is hired, it transforms workplaces because of the attributes they bring with them from their military service. Mission Enduring Independence will launch in Orange County and then roll out nationally via other Goodwill organizations across the country. And those are your need-to-know news stories for the week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
Thank you, Corey. That was great news about Goodwill. I know Janet, one of our team members, was saying in Georgia that they are one of their community blueprint members. So we'll see it roll out in Orange County and then nationally, and that's a really great thing. Thanks for sharing.
I'm Eric Kippel, 10-year veteran of the NFL.
And I'm Captain Mark McNeil, 16-year veteran of the Army National Guard. Whether on the playing field or the battlefield, you must be both physically and mentally fit.
If you're injured, you owe it to yourself and your teammates to get back to peak performance. It doesn't matter if you've got a broken bone, depression, a traumatic brain injury, PTSD, or another psychological wound.
Getting help shows strength, not weakness.
To find out more, go to realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Miss the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio, hosted and presented by Army Wife Network. I am your host, Star Henderson.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson. Tonight we have with us Michelle Tillis Letterman, author of The 11 Laws of Likeability and Heroes Get Hired. She is also the founder of Executive Essentials, a training company that provides communications and leadership programs, as well as executive coaching services. Michelle believes real relationships lead to real results and specializes in teaching people how to communicate with confidence, clarity, and connection.
Michelle spent 10 years in finance, beginning her career as a CPA, and her experience ranges from venture capital to hedge funds and includes positions as a financial strategist, a hedge fund investment advisor, and a director of communication. She is involved in extensive volunteer and community advocacy, and we are really pleased to have her with us here tonight. Michelle, I want to know what to invest in, so let's get started. Oh, wait, that's a different
topic. I'm a recovering CPA. I am no longer in that field.
Recovering. That's awesome. You know, our other guest last week who wrote a book for new mommies was an accountant before she decided that she wanted to be help for new moms. And so we interviewed, that would have been last week. Last week we had another accountant. So, goodness, you girls. What is it with the finance field? You're all flooding from it, and I don't know if you, most people don't know, but I'm doing an internship in financial counseling, and so I guess that's not quite the same thing, but I'm hoping that, you know, y'all aren't flooding it for good reason.
Well, my first,
you are flooding it for good reason, but you know what I mean.
You know, my first tip for the listeners is that just because you're good at something doesn't mean that's what you should be doing, and it took me a little while to figure that out.
Right, yeah, I get that. So, That's a great tip, and we are here to talk about career tonight. We gave a little bit about your bio, but we would like to know a little bit, you know, if you had to describe yourself and didn't, you know, do the official write-up, what would you say about yourself? And also tell us where you're calling from. We always like to know where that is.
Sure. I should say my husband describes me as an adrenaline junkie. I think I'm a travel junkie. I've been to 58 countries. I'm an animal lover, and I'm the mother of two little boys that are probably staying up past their bedtime to listen to mommy on the radio. And I'm from South Orange, New Jersey.
New Jersey. My husband will be heading up there to go to school this fall. He'll be getting a break from Army life to go to NGIT. I don't know if you say NGIT or NGIT, but we will learn.
Midget.
Midget. I'm going to start calling him Midget.
But yes, NJIT is probably the longer hand, but that's actually very close to me. It's a great school.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks. So, hi, boys. We wanted to make sure that we put that out there. Hi, boys. Now it's time for you to go to bed. We're going
to
talk boring stuff.
Noah.
James and Noah. So, you went from accounting, and you already gave us one good working tip, but explain a little bit about you and when you began to see the need for your book specifically geared towards veterans. I know it said that you are, you know, you like to focus on communication, that confidence, that clarity, and so you wanted to show that to veterans.
Yeah, well, we have over a million service people coming back from deployments over the next several years. With a already tough job market, you know, thinking about the changes that they're making from the military career to the civilian career, I think that it's a very timely resource.
Yes, it's perfect timing. And I think when you're talking about communication, they're having a hard time really communicating those transferable skills.
Yes, and the truth is, and I love that we kind of started with me being a recovering CPA, because for the veteran or the veteran spouse who, you know, are your audience, we're always in the evolution of our career. And if I think about, you know, starting as an accountant and where I am now, it seems like a complete shift, but the truth is it was really an evolution. And so we take all the skills that we build in one of our experiences and transfer them to the next. But that's really, I think, sometimes the biggest challenge is understanding that we have those skills to take with us.
Hmm. Well, in the book, Heroes Get Hired, you talk about limiting the beliefs. Can you explain what they are and what impact they have?
Sure. You know, there are things that we believe to the core of our being to be the truth. It could be that, you know, women don't make it to the top, or men are stronger than women. You know, we really feel that they're real, they're true, but the truth is most of the time they're assumptions. They might be based in fact, and there might be a percentage of that is true and can be verified, but they are assumptions. And when we believe them to our core, we limit the possibilities for ourselves. So if we come back and say, well, they're not going to hire me because, and we believe that to be a fact, the truth is it's a limiting belief. And we have to start to identify when we are giving those mental messages to ourselves and holding ourselves back. Let somebody else say no to us. We shouldn't be saying no to us.
So it almost becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy cycle, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of start sabotaging yourself, whether you're not, you know, maybe you believe that you can't really have that job, but you tried for it because you need a job, and do you sabotage yourself in that way?
You can, and the truth is, and I think you're taking it even a step further, is that we then start presenting ourselves with the belief that we can't do it, which takes it to a whole other level of self-sabotage. But the truth is, when we have a limiting belief, we won't even try because we think it's a waste of time.
Hmm. That's so true. Sometimes that we kind of do that to ourselves because we like you said, we limit ourselves and what we believe, and we just don't push through that to discover that that's not the case.
You know, and I'm a prime example. I went from being an accountant to being a trainer, and I went up to a place that I took a training class, and I said, hey, I'm a communications trainer. I want to train for you. And they looked at my resume, and they said, no, you're a finance trainer. And I said, okay, I'm a finance trainer, and I want to train for you.
There you go.
And I did. And so I got to start doing what I loved and what I felt I was meant to be doing, not exactly the way I wanted to do it at first, but I got to take what I had and evolve into this new world for me, versus saying, well, how could I jump? How can I go from one thing to another? I didn't limit myself. I just said, okay, this is who I am.
Mm.
So flexibility, that Semper Gumby characteristic.
Yeah. Flexibility and vision. I always say design your ideal. And that's really hard to do, is to think, what is my ideal? What does it look like? And you want to think about three things. The first thing is going to be your passion. You want to write down all those things that you would do if you had $10 million in the bank. I used to say $1 million, but that's just not going to cut it anymore. It's
you're
sadly true, right?
I don't know. I'm thinking $1 million sounds pretty good, but I don't have a concept really what how long that would carry me out. So $10 million.
Right? I mean,
what would
now
you do with $10 million?
If you knew what you'd do with $10 million, think about the magazines you read, think about what you do for fun, and then you're going to have a whole list of those things, those topics, those industries, those hobbies. Another column is going to be all of the strengths, attributes, skills that you bring to the table. And they don't have to be terribly specific, and they need to be generated by more than just you. So you're going to start your list, and we're so hard on ourselves that we're going to have like three things.
Right.
So this should be your longest list. You're going to go out to your friends and your family and your significant other and your kids. They'll tell you. Go out to people who you volunteered with, who you used to work for, people in your religious community, and ask them, this, by the way, this activity is my first, actually might be in both books, to get a sense of, it's called your three words, to get a sense of some of your strengths. And the third is going to be lifestyle. So do you need something that can be virtual in case you have to relocate? Do you need something that is flexible because you've got kids of a certain age? So what are the lifestyle issues? Do you need to make a certain amount of money? Do you want to work with other people? And most of the time when we think about our career, we start with that. I know I did. I mean, I started with, I wanted to have a power suit in the corner office on Wall Street.
Right.
And make a lot of money and be financially secure. And by the way, I did have a corner office on Wall Street. And I looked out the window, looking at the New York Stock Exchange, and I thought, all right, now what?
Wow.
So your limiting belief was almost that you thought you'd be successful when you had those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put yourself in a box. I'm just trying to translate what you were saying as far as that those beliefs go. So passion, strengths, and well, I was going to say personality, but lifestyle. So you need
exactly.
to look at all
and
three
instead
of those. All three of those.
Instead of making the mistakes that I did, it took me 10 years to find my way out, with starting with column three, I want you to start with column one. I want you to start with a passion. Mm-hmm. And I want you to think about possible jobs. Circle the top five things that jump out at you from your list. And think about possible jobs that incorporate some of that passion. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to think about the skills that you have that could apply to that those potential jobs. Mm-hmm. And then you use column three only as a filter for the ones that you might want to go after. Mm-hmm. So if you have a... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you have a job that meets your passion, meets your skills, but it's just not a lifestyle that's conducive to where you are in your life, then it's not one for you right now, but it's one to put in the back of your mind.
I see. Hmm. What I was going to say is I think, like you were saying, ask friends, ask coworkers, ask supervisors about column number two where you talk about strengths. I think mm-hmm. especially as military spouses, and we didn't really talk about what you think is exactly the biggest challenge of military spouses, but I would say adapting what you thought you wanted to do to what you actually can do is probably one of the biggest challenges. And so if you have that help coming up with not only what's your passion, but what can you do with your passion, you know, taking care of kids, teaching, you know, maybe writing curriculum for kids, all of those things are working with kids or helping, you know, a children's community, where as one military spouse might be just say, well, I thought I would be a teacher. And there's so many ways to be a teacher. So if you ask other spouses, you know, how would you fulfill this passion, maybe fleshing out that column one might be a good idea to enlist some help.
I love that. And I actually love the example that you gave of being a teacher, because when I was in sixth grade, that's what I wanted to be. But I didn't grow up with financial security, and I really needed that in my life. So mm-hmm. I just thought I wouldn't get it that way. And I didn't know that what I do, which in essence is being a teacher, I just do it in a corporate environment. And I've also mm-hmm. gotten to do it in a university environment. But I got to do it in a way that it gave me everything I needed. And so I think you make such a great point of not limiting what it looks like to follow your passion.
Right, and I feel like it's really hard to do when you're just yourself. And, asking friends or, you know, hey, Paula, what should I do? I want to be a teacher, but that's not possible right now. So brainstorming.
Exactly. I mean, I can brainstorm with you right now. We can do tutoring. You can do after-school programs, you know. I bet if we look on the chat, people are also coming up with ideas on there.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, they say in the service, you know, always being prepared. Okay, so what can you help us when it comes to our audience, tell us to do in preparing for an interview? We go, we you know, decide our passion, we look at our strengths and our skills, and we find that. And then we have the opportunity for that interview. How do we prepare?
I love it. Okay, so it depends on how far in advance we're preparing. If you've got, you know, a few weeks, I want you to do some research. I want you to see if you know anybody in your veterans or veteran spouse network that knows anybody who works at the company, who works at the company, who works in the industry. Talk to them. Just get information so you have a sense of the culture, the people, the mission. Just starting to almost put on, you know, that coat that feels like what it would be like to work there or work in that industry. So if you've got weeks, that's what you're going to do. You're going to Google them, see where they are in the news. You're going to go to their website and look at their products. You're going to just really check out their Facebook page, do all that fun stuff. About a week before, you're going to think about what are you going to wear. Now,
for the women on this line, this is my greatest challenge in the preparation of the interview is what am I going to wear? Because I can't stand stockings.
Right.
You can wear a pantsuit. I'm here to tell you, you can wear a pantsuit. And there are some videos on heroesgethired.com that actually really gives you a checklist to think about in terms of the appearance, so thinking about what you're going to wear. But you want to try on that outfit several days in advance. Make sure it's cleaned and pressed and fits and you have shoes and really head-to-toe try on that outfit. Think about the accessories. You want one statement piece if you're a woman. The men might have a pop of color. You want to have, conservative appearance. If you have tattoos or piercings, take the piercings out, cover the tattoos as best you can. In some industries they won't care, in others they will.
And
so
I was going to just ask about that, because when you're talking to newer, younger spouses, I think you're like, oh, you got to hide that, or you shouldn't, you get into kind of squelching their personality, and then they just don't even want to try.
So I always say that the interview, you have to be one step above what you need to be when you're actually on the job.
Okay, that's a good tip.
You need to show that you know what's appropriate and acceptable and can kind of have that forethought. And then once you're in that environment, if other people are setting that tone, that you're following the lead rather than pushing the envelope, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we absolutely don't want to squash the personality. And one thing you really want to think about is, how are you going to show that personality? So part of the prep is thinking about what do you want them to know about you? What are those strengths of that list that we came up with that you think are most applicable to this job? And if they say, tell me about yourself, what are the three things you want to highlight? And you might also want to prepare questions that you want to ask them. Now, at the end of the interview, there's always an opportunity for you to ask the interviewer questions. And in talking to a lot of veterans, they said initially they didn't realize that they should. Absolutely, absolutely ask questions. The question shouldn't be, what's my vacation time or how much am I being paid? They should really be about understanding if this is the right fit for you. And I always have some back pocket questions ready, and everyone, if you grab your pens, I'm going to give you some that you can have at the ready. Mm. All right. I personally care about who I work with, so I always ask questions around, do you feel that it's a collegial environment? Do you feel like you work with friends or coworkers? I would ask questions about what's the favorite part of your day? What would you do if you had an idea to make a change here? And how do you think it would be received? Those questions were all trying to get at culture of the company. I might ask questions around, how did they choose that industry? Or, why did they choose that job? I might ask things about growth. Go ahead.
So you're turning the questions back onto them to kind of get a feel for their answers.
Exactly.
The environment and the type of people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that they like about their job?
Exactly. And not only is that going to give you really great information, you're actually showing them what's important to you about making a decision, and that does have your personality come out. You want to choose questions that are going to influence your decision-making.
That's good. I don't think anybody really stops to think about turning the questions around and asking, the interviewer, because, you're always nervous. And the interviews can be so stressful. I mean, you talk about the mental, physical, and the behavioral techniques for managing our nerves. Can you give us some insight into that and what the differences are there?
Sure. So we all feel nerves in different ways. I know for me, my heart races. Other people might sweat. So there's physical signs of nerves. But really, all nerves are coming from the mental place of the mental messages we're telling ourselves. I'm not good enough. They won't want me. I'm not qualified. I'm not comfortable. Right? So we do that little song and dance in our head that perpetuates all those physical signs of nerves. So I can give you some tips on how to manage the physical signs, but the most important thing is to manage the mental message. One thing that I always say is if you don't believe you can do it, you will never convince anybody else you can either. There's a great TED Talk with a woman named Amy Cuddy, and she talks about power poses. You can convince your physical self to feel more confident by getting yourself into like the Wonder Woman pose or the arm stretch pose, all poses that make you feel and look physically larger actually will have a physical reaction on your confidence. If you have things like heart racing, there's breathing techniques. If you're a sweater, you want to wear dark colors, first of all, and not wear silk.
Yeah. Right.
And if you are a hand sweater, you want to keep your hand on your arm or on your knee. So when you get up, you can actually very subtly wipe your hand against your clothing and extend it with a dry hand and confidence. So there's little tips and tricks that I give there to manage those nerves, but the place you have to start is a mental message. Is, you know what, instead of saying, oh, I don't know how to do this, might say, I don't know how to do this yet, but I know I can learn.
Right, and you can. Yeah, or Google it, yeah. The TED Talk.
Or I can Google it, I like
power
that.
Poses. I can Google it. But I kind of think of this as the grown-up version of, you know, you have to like yourself before you can ask anybody else to like you.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, I tell that to my son. I mean, you got to be straight with yourself before you're out there parading yourself in front of those, you know, parading. I don't know. Maybe I should not divulge all the advice. Let me take that back. Not parading anywhere. I hope so. But anyway, you do have to have confidence, and it does help to fake it. And I do find, I notice if I stand equally on both feet, mm-hmm. I feel more mentally grounded. And I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I do remember that being one thing that I had started one time and thought, I don't know if it just kind of recalls to my mind, okay, you are solid, you know. And so little techniques like that, knowing yourself and being prepared that you know you're going to sweat. There's nothing you can do to make yourself stop sweating. And if you can listen and go ahead and cue into Michelle and be like, okay, just make sure you wipe your hands before you go to extend, you know, that will help you relax a little bit. I'm hoping. Here I am talking myself into it. I am not a good interviewer. I love the research. This is why I am good for that company. This is why the company is the best thing that I could ever work for. And then you just get to the interview and you're like, you wanted to know about me off the cuff.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't like talking about myself, you know, and so it just kind of goes downhill from there.
But like you just said to me, this would be a great company to work for, and they ask you, tell me about you. You can answer with, you know, I really felt that this was a great fit because you have the answers in your head. And this goes for everyone listening. You always have the answer. There are no wrong answers, and you always want to be honest. And the idea is just to really own those answers and to enjoy those answers. And, yeah, sometimes it's awkward when you can't come up with something. So I have another trick for you, stall tactics. So when somebody asks you a question and you want to be deer in the headlights, like, right? Instead, we're going to try something like a smile, direct eye contact, and a phrase to give you a little extra time, such as, that's an interesting question, or, you know, that's one I hadn't thought about before. Or, so what you would like me to talk about is, should I talk about this or that? You know, and just stall a little bit. A glass of water nearby is a great stall tactic.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
All right. So, but I know, like, those are questions that kind of are asking you to delve into yourself a little bit more. But what about, okay, specifically for military spouses, and you get the gotcha questions. You know, are you planning on starting a family? Is your husband going to get, you know, how long have you been here and when do you think your husband's going to get orders? How can you stall or maybe redirect or get him to cancel, take that question back?
Okay, so first of all, there's something that we should all know is what are legal questions and what are not legal questions. They are not legally allowed to ask you if you're planning to start a family. So that's the question that you don't have to answer. When you have an illegal question, there's a technique I want to share called extract and redirect. So this is the idea of not actually answering the question, but talking about something related. And so if somebody says, are you planning to start a family, you know, you don't want to, like, say, well, you can't legally ask me that.
Right.
You might
and most people, you know, most bigger corporations aren't going to ask you that. It's the ones, and so you get in your head almost, oh, well, they're not going to ask me that. It's illegal. But, you know, smaller companies or a new interviewer might. And so you're saying.
And what you might simply say is, you know, right now my focus is on really developing my professional career, and I'm very interested in this company, and this is why I think it's a great fit. And that's what you are doing. You're extracting yourself from the actual question. You didn't answer it. You redirected to, here's what I'm focused on right now, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a technique to sidestep, so to speak, some of those inappropriate questions. Now, the ones that are legal and they're asking you, such as, how long have you been here, and when do you think he's going to get orders, this is one of those fears of relocation, which is one of the challenges of military
right.
spouses. And so if you have actual figures and you can give, great. You might also talk about how you can guarantee a certain amount of time, that you have ways that you have talked with your husband about how you would follow him in certain times if that was necessary, but that you're planning to stay put. You might also talk about how you believe that position might be able to go virtual or part-time
mm-hmm.
virtual, you know, and talk about the creativity around making it work in a long-term situation.
Okay, so
open some doors.
Yeah, so if we just say, well, we could deploy, they're going to say, okay, next. But if you sit there and say, you know what, I want to commit to this and guarantee you at least a year, I also would like to think about how, regardless of the deployment situation, we can make that an even longer-term situation. And if there is a time when I have to leave, I would guarantee to virtually train any replacements so that you don't have lost time. There's things that you can do to add to their comfort level with taking that risk.
Well, you say that the end of the interview is not the end. So what do you mean by that?
You know, and I'll share a little bit about, you know, some friends of mine that had been interviewing lately and didn't get a job. And I said, well, did you call up and get some feedback? And they're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you could do that? I said, absolutely. So, you know, they got some great information that they were able to take to the next interview and then actually got that next job. So get some feedback. Learn why you weren't the right fit, anything that you might have done different, and also as well as things that really did work for you so that you know to feel confident to continue them. You might also say, you know, hey, if I wasn't the right fit, I might know somebody. And maybe there is another spouse or somebody within the community that might be a better fit that you can connect them to. You don't know where they're going to go next. Maybe they're planning to leave their job and they thought you might not have been fit here, but they might think of you later. So you're building your network. And what I always say is the end of the interview is not the end, because I want you to continue the relationship with the person rather than always the company.
So, like you said, the friend was like, well, I didn't know you could do it. Well, you can always call and ask. I guess they can tell you no, or, you know, not return your phone call or whatever. But it still shows that you're willing to go that extra mile and your feelings aren't, you know, too hurt that you didn't get a call back or, you know, some other type of extension of a job offer or whatever. And, you know, thank you notes. Are those out of style?
Never.
Still do. And then is it written or email? How do you close that whole scenario?
I have to say I'm an email girl. And the truth is there's an immediacy in the email and there's an ease in the email. And so I really do tend towards the email myself. Now, I will tell you, I noticed, and I recently got a thank you note from somebody I did a talk for in Chicago, and I have it in my drawer. So, you know, there is something special about the handwritten note, but what I would say is do the email first, because you want that immediacy. You want that within, you know, 24 to 48 hours. You want that thank you note in their hands. And then if you really think this is a good possibility, this is the one I really want to go after, then follow up with the handwritten one and add a little bit of additional content. You know, it's not just thank you for your time, but mention something you spoke about or thank them for answering a question for you or sharing some information or even potentially add an additional question within the note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so email is okay to do.
Absolutely. But you have to make sure that you are structuring that email the same way you would a written note. Dear so-and-so, full sentences,
okay.
Correct punctuation, a proper signature, really still make it quite professional, but also personalize it. Think about your subject line.
Okay. It just seems, you know, it just seems, I guess, a little impersonal. And so I've always wondered about that because I would always follow up with a handwritten note. But I understand what you're saying, that, you know, it needs to be there within, what, 24, 48 hours, and usually the mail, mm-hmm. you can't do that.
Yeah. There is never anything wrong with a handwritten note.
Right.
The truth is that sometimes even if you get it in the mail doesn't get to their desk. Or
right,
they're traveling
exactly.
and they don't see it. We know that the email will always be seen by them. And so it just covers your bases. I absolutely hear what you're saying about the depersonalization of email, which is why I want you to personalize it with a sentence of, you know, it was so nice chatting with you. And when you have that small talk in the interview, remember it because that's where you're going to find personalization. You know, maybe it's something about a picture you saw there or the fact that you saw a candy dish and you might make a joke about, I'm going to bring a Swedish fish next time I come in for my second round or something like that. I've done it. I brought Swedish fish to interviews.
I think you sound like a real experienced woman. You know exactly what might work and what won't work. Some sugar, that's exactly it. I think I was telling, I don't know if it was you, Paula, today, but I know I sent out an email, maybe it was to the whole team, about how, you know, I find that I'm usually better than the next guy, but not as good as the other guy. So, you know, email might feel impersonal to us, but, you know, it's something that maybe, you know, everybody else is doing, so why not? And also, following up with that personal note just kind of brings it old school, and you can do both, and it works that way.
Exactly.
All right. So we need to know how to get a hold of you. I know that our audience may have some questions, and you mentioned the Heroes Get Hired website, but where would you prefer them to reach out if they have anything to ask you about, and how do they find out more about your work?
I love questions, and the two best places are on Twitter. My handle is MT Lederman, is LEDERMAN. Or on Twitter, it's my full name, Michelle Tillis Lederman, and it's comma author and speaker. Now, I'll warn you, don't friend me because my 80s hair is not pretty. But if you like my page, I'm on there every day. It's scary, to be honest with you. But I'm on there every day, and I'm happy to answer questions. I also welcome you to connect to me on LinkedIn. Just let me know how you found me and why you're connecting. And you want to do that with anybody you connect to. And if you want to check a little bit more of my work or some of my videos, you can find me at MichelleTillisLetterman.com.
It sounds like you are all over the place.
I am. And on that, on the MichelleTillisLetterman.com, it'll take you to YouTube. We've got loads of videos on there. Takes you to the blog. I'm constantly writing. So there's more than enough to find of me.
All right. So thank you so much for being here with us tonight. And we'll be in touch. And I know a lot of the listeners will get a lot out of that and all of your books. So they'll be looking you up. Thanks.
My pleasure. Have a good night.
All right, that does it for our main guest segment this evening. Don't go anywhere. Up next, we do have Rebecca, and she will be calling or interviewing our resource of the week, so we just ask that you stay tuned. We are going to bring you this quick message first.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR resource of the week.
I had PTSD. Once I was back from Iraq, I was distant from everybody in my family. We had a reunion of our unit, and you'd hear these spouses say, "Is your husband doing that? My husband's doing that too. I thought it was just us." And really understanding that, hey, this is a common experience.
I learned more to listen to what he was saying, and that made it easier for me to understand where his pain was coming from.
Resources are available for military families. Learn more at realwarriors.net.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Do us a favor. Look on the seat next to you. Are there any fast food remains? A crinkled up burger wrapper? A fry container, perhaps? Did you know that if you simply limited eating out, you could save tons of cash? Cash that could allow you to pay off your house by the time you retire. Makes you sort of queasy thinking of what's been wasted. Or maybe that's the chili cheese dog. This has been a message from Military Saves, where saving money is easy once you know where it's been going. To learn more, go to www.militarysaves.org.
All right, team. We have everybody on the line, and I have everybody unmuted. So, Rebecca, are you? Have you called in?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm going to take a roll call. And how about a soldier's child? Daryl, are you there? You know, there were a couple new phone numbers, and I wasn't sure if we had Daryl Mackin, the executive director of the Soldier's Child Foundation. It's sounding like maybe his call has either been dropped, maybe he'll call back in, or there's been some confusion. It's good to hear you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Yeah, I know I had some issues calling in the first time. My call was dropped a couple times, and then the sound was real spotty, so maybe something like that happened, and maybe he'll get on the line with us soon.
And so I've got everybody unmuted. Daryl, are you there yet? All right, let's see if we can go ahead and get in touch with him, Rebecca. I'm going to go ahead and play the Help Minute for tonight.
Okay, because we're waiting on you, and we didn't see your phone number pop up on the switchboard.
Kids in the Pool. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, people are not the only creatures in a swimming pool. Swimmers might introduce germs into the water, too. Chlorine and other disinfectants kill most germs within minutes, not instantly. If you swallow pool water, you risk swallowing germs that can cause waterborne diseases. That's especially a problem for children at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Michelle Lavsa.
Studies show that young children tend to drink more water while swimming than adults. Because they drink more water, they're more likely to get sick.
Lavsa advises parents to help protect kids by encouraging them to keep water out of their mouths. They can help to protect other kids by giving their kids a pre-swim wash, not letting them swim with diarrhea, and taking them on bathroom breaks every 60 minutes or checking diapers every 30 to 60 minutes. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Army Wife Talk Radio salutes our soldiers.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heartbeat to meet the red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. What should old acquaintance be forgot? Keep your eye on the grand old flag.
Army Wife Network is a community on a mission to empower those who follow. We have been your trusted resource for advice and information on this Army journey. Now, AWN is giving you more with the introduction of AWN Shopping. AWN Shopping is a one-of-a-kind online shopping experience. AWN Shopping makes it easy to shop with all your favorite online stores like Kohl's, Old Navy, Target, and more. You can even share great deals or your favorite items with your friends and family. The best part is that you'll just be doing your regular shopping, but you'll be earning money for yourself and for our network through those purchases. Log on to shop.armywifenetwork.com to learn more and start saving while supporting Army Wife Network today.
All right, team, I think I have Mr. Darrell on the line and Rebecca, our Resource of the Week interview. So, Rebecca, why don't you take it away? Rebecca?
Hey there.
Darrell, you are there. Thank you for bearing with us. I appreciate
it. I'm not
it.
Rebecca.
No, I know you're not. We've got everybody now.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Darrell. How are you this evening?
Good, Rebecca. How are you doing? I tried my impersonation of you, but it didn't work.
Oh, I'm sorry. You'd have to get some really high notes out there to get that to happen.
It's true.
Well, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling us from tonight?
Okay, sure. Well, I run a program called the Soldier's Child Foundation, and right now, believe it or not, we're in the middle of camp in Wisconsin, and we have 60 kids, children of fallen soldiers here at Camp Wattawa. And yeah, I tried to say that twice. And
I was just saying, now where is that?
It's in Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Oh. And 2 weeks ago, we did our camp in Nashville. So we're going camp crazy right now.
Great. Now, what part of Wisconsin is that in?
It's about a half hour from West Bend.
Okay.
And which it was an hour from Milwaukee.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been more to the other, I think the other side of the state, I have to think. I've been to Fort McCoy a few times, so.
Okay.
I'm familiar with that area. Now, what inspired you to begin A Soldier's Child, and when did you begin your program?
Okay. It was back in 2008. We celebrated the birthday of Christian Golzinski, and he lost his dad in Iraq in March of 2007. And Mark's parents were my neighbors. And, yeah, so when Mark was killed, you know, I served in the Navy, but I never thought, what does a family go through when they lose someone in the military? And I saw it firsthand. And in one particular night, Henry in anger said, did it really friggin' matter? And does anybody even care? And that really was, I just felt this pit inside of me that I wanted to answer those questions. And I come to find out, doing this 4 years now, that the families, the children, they have those questions, and they want to know, and they want to hear from the average American citizen, not the government or the military, but just the average Joe. And that's what I am.
I was looking around on your website the other day. Now, and I was just really moved by some of the stuff. But you have 3 points of service that your foundation provides for the children. Can you tell us what those 3 points are?
Yeah. Well, the key is, the first one is bird bags. And in particular, when I was celebrating my son's 6th birthday, I got kind of frustrated in all the preparations that went into the birthday, and I kind of copped an attitude. But in that, I realized what I have to give to my children, and they have me. And I was caught by that photo of Christian Golzinski receiving the flag of his father at his funeral. And, you know, I got caught in that, and I said, man, you know, the ironic part of it is that I took it personal that Mark died for me so that I could live out the liberties and freedoms as an American, yet his son is shortchanged on what I give my kids. And that was the beginning of it, birthdays. And Christian was the first, and at the end of the first year we had 3 kids, and the second year we had 40. But we've connected with survivor outreach service coordinators throughout the country, and a little over 4 years now we're into it, and we're closing in on 1,000 kids in 45 states.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that picture you were talking about, that's the main picture on your website, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yes.
It is a beautiful photo, and, you know, it's sad, the reason behind it, but it is a beautiful photo.
It's iconic, you know. It really captures the moment of what children go through.
Yeah. And, you know, we know that you started 4 years ago with that child, but now you said you have over 1,000 children that you guys are taking care of. What are you attributing to the growth of taking care of these children through the foundation?
Well, I think, you know, the three things that we do is I start in the birthdays, our summer camp, where we bring the kids together, and we facilitate college scholarships. What we offer the average person, the average Joe again, is we're a tangible way for people to put the words, "I support our troops," instead of a marquee or a bumper sticker, but we're tangible that the average person can become a part of a Soldier's Child Foundation, and that's either with time, volunteering, their talents, you know, giving us their resources, whether they're a web guy or a PR guy or, you know, whatever it is. And then, of course, the treasures. And people have invested into our foundation so we can do the work of giving back to these kids and, again, answering those two big questions. Could it matter? And does anybody care?
Wow. Of course it matters. And we should care. Everybody should care.
Yeah, but, you know, you think about it, though, how long we have been as a country. You know, something. It's, people say to me all the time, how come we've never thought of this before?
Right.
You know?
Unless it happens to somebody personally, I think, in today's society, then it doesn't really affect them. And it's not that they don't care. It just doesn't, it's not real to them. Does that make
sense? Yeah.
And that's
it does make
where,
sense.
Where I think people are.
Yeah.
But how do you see the foundation expanding, and how many children do you anticipate being part of ASD in about, let's say, 5 years from now?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, you know, the way we are now, we started off supporting children of soldiers. And when I say soldiers, I mean all military branches that were killed in action. But our mission statement now reads that anyone during active duty, anyone, you know, it could be a training exercise, you know, anything like that in that respect. So we were looking at originally somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000 kids, but now it's, you know, it could be in the tens of thousands if to reach.
Right.
And that would take a lot of resource to be able to do that. But if we look at these kids as our national treasure, which I do and many other Americans do, then it's worth the effort and the time, and our treasure to give back to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how are you notified of a new child, and how do you meet their needs, and how much money does it take on a per-child basis?
Right. Well, again, the Survivor Outreach Service coordinators are a big resource. We don't solicit any family whatsoever, and they come to us. They come to our website. And the surviving spouse will fill out the application, and then their children are enrolled, and then they're prompted to fill out a gift interview form, which tells us when we go shopping, because we don't collect toys and then just ship them any toys or gifts. We shop specifically according to each child's wishes and needs. So the mom will fill out a gift interview form, everything from what sports you're into, crafts, you know, jewelry, perfume. I mean, I've become an excellent shopper, by the way. But fortunately, unfortunately, for most women, I'm married already, so that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I used to hate the shop. Now I walk into the stores, and they know me by my first name. So, but we spend about $150 per child per birthday. And, you know, it adds up. I mean, we just finished an open enrollment in 2 months, and we took on 156 kids. In 2 months. That's an average of about 3 kids a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So the growth is, I mean, we're just through the roof. The kids are coming because you know, one mom tells another mom, you know, this is amazing. It's not just a gift, but it's the message behind it. You know,
right.
We wrap every gift in purple. We give them a scroll sealed with a wax crown instead of a birthday card. We give them purple wrapping paper, gold and silver. Just we do it real special. And the message is that we see that they've inherited a legacy of royalty. And we quote the scripture where it says, "For there is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend."
Right.
And that's why we see them as royalty.
So right now, what is the greatest need for the foundation?
Obviously awareness, you know, getting out the word of what we're doing for the kids and getting more support, again, in time, talent, and treasure, getting corporates behind us. You know, we want to continue doing the work, but we need more help financially. You know, Sears Hometown Outlet Stores, this coming 4th of July, we're going to be in 10 million newspapers, and they've done a full-page ad on us. And hopefully that'll help. And it's things like that that'll really help us further our mission.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're running short on time, and I have so much more that I would love to ask you.
Thank you.
But where can we go to get more information or to see about helping you guys and your foundation out and sponsoring children? Where can we go?
Well, if you go to our website, asoldierschild.org, we have a sponsor a child program, which folks can give on a monthly basis and give to children, you know, for birthdays, again, summer camp, and help towards college scholarships. That's a big way of helping out. There's so much information on our website, I would invite anybody to go and check out. You can see our videos, our camps, and things like that.
Okay. What a fabulous organization. And thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. AWTR listeners, stay tuned for more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army family empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to armywifenetwork.com. That's armywifenetwork.com. Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Thanks so much for listening to our show. That was another week full of great resources with Michelle and a Soldier's Child Foundation. Next week we're going to be back with a whole new month, July 1st, and we are going to be featuring Sarah Smiley. I just saw her book featured in one of the four recommendations from Good Housekeeping last month, and I thought, oh, wow, what an honor. She will be here with us on Monday, July 1st. If you don't know Sarah Smiley, she has been in the military world. She's a military spouse and has been around for quite a long time. Most recently, she just finished up Dinner with the Smileys, and we're going to be talking to her about her book next week. Then we also will have the resource of the week, Moving Journal for Kids.
That's right. But in the meantime, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. And, of course, our blog, LovingASoldier.com. And don't forget that you can soak up all the knowledge available on our main site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
We never sleep, and we leave the lights on for you. We're household sixes. Right. So that's what it's all about at Army Wife Network. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives, and, you get the added bonus of being an Army mom. So I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of your son.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yep. So this is Army Wife Talk Radio's Henderson and Swanson this week. We're signing out.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.